Yeah, it's great to be here, Steve.
What was your reaction when you found out? Now, look, I know that this is a team game. It's a real team game for the coaches. But the fact that you, and I'll say on behalf of your coaching staff, were represented with being a finalist for the Eddie Robinson Award.
Well, I tell you, it's humbling, but it really is a testament to our staff. This year being so unique, just to get your team to the season itself, just to be able to play a game became a challenge in itself, and we did a great job. I've got a great group of young men who are assistants that worked tirelessly. We were short staffed for most of the year. There was a hiring freeze on campus, and as we lost a coach here or there, we weren't able to fill those open positions. So we had a lot of guys on our staff that were wearing a bunch of different hats, not always able to focus on the game of football when they're worrying about filming practices and things like that. So it was a huge challenge for us to overcome, and I think that's great recognition for all of my assistants to have my name up there as a finalist.
You and I both know it is almost impossible, not completely, but almost impossible to win a game when you turn it over five times. In the end, I mean, how much did that put you behind the eight ball trying to fight uphill all afternoon?
Yeah, it was terrible. It was nearly insurmountable. Right from the second offensive snap that we ran, we threw an interception, which was a great play by the Holy Cross inside linebacker. Phenomenal play. You just got to shake some of those off. Those happen sometimes. But we just kept compounding it. We went down 17-0 early. Nobody on our team panicked. We're a veteran group. We hung in there. We dug in, started playing better defense and tackling, started moving the ball on offense, and we were slowly chipping it away and going into the second half, chipping it away. But then again, our last four possessions of the game, when we needed points, when we needed to finish that comeback, we threw three interceptions and unfortunately had a bad snap go over our punter's head for a safety. And that's a tough way to end a season, to be close, to be involved in a championship game, and then that to be the kind of the taste that's left in your mouth after it's all said and done from one really bad quarter and a bunch of turnovers, unfortunately.
All right. As a coach, when did you start thinking about the fall? Saturday night? Yesterday?
Yeah, definitely Saturday night. It's you're always thinking. You're always moving on, and you have to be forward thinking, particularly when the fall is just around the corner. It's not like a normal season where you've got 9 months to slowly get through recruiting and reevaluate, watch your cutoffs, analyze the season, what you did great and what you need to work on, and we're just on fast forward right now. We've got to get caught up with recruiting here in the spring, and we've got a season that's coming up 4 months away, and so it's less than half the lead time you normally have getting ready for a season. So really just the circumstances force you to just think about that. There really is no time to dwell on what happened. It's about, hey, how are you going to get your, this group of young men that are returning and an incoming class of freshmen, how you're going to get them ready by the time August rolls around here and the next season's upon us.
So let's pick up on that theme right there. Of the players that you played this spring that will be back for the fall, what kind of foundation do you feel that you laid so that when you get to training camp, you're on the fast track with certain things?
Yeah, I got to give credit to our seniors. They did a phenomenal job this year. They really were outstanding leaders, and I think they really set the bar. I think every senior class that's going to come through here while I'm the head coach is going to be measured by what our senior class did here. Again, with the amount of adversity and how easy it would have been for a lot of them, like a lot of schools where guys just opted out of the season and or went into the transfer portal and left. We didn't have a single player that didn't come back. Nobody transferred. Guys stuck with it. And a lot of the reasons why we were as successful as we were this season was because of them. So they've built that foundation. Now we're losing a lot of good football players, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. Right. So there's a void that's there that we've got some good young players that need to step up and have great summers here and preparing themselves to move into starting positions. On the offensive side of the ball, we're a little bit better in terms of the amount of players that come back. And we lose Logan Bitterkoffer, our starting quarterback. We lose P.J. Barr, our best offensive lineman, who started at every single one of our offensive line positions. In all my years of coaching, I've never seen an offensive lineman be able to do that, but he did it, and he did it well. And so those are a couple of big losses that we have on the offensive side of the ball. We have a bunch of really good players coming back. Brandon Sanders, a first-team all-conference player. Dominic Lyles, a second-team all-conference player. We've got some young running backs that have played an awful lot of football for us, and they're going to be coming back. And again, we have a lot of these offensive linemen who started as true freshmen that are going to be coming back and have great careers ahead of themselves. So certainly a lot that we're losing in terms of that senior leadership, but there's an awful lot of optimism looking into the season here and some of the young players that are looking to step into their shoes and hopefully continue this program on the upward swing.
Obviously, you have to, as an employee of the university, stick to exactly what they need and want. And you talked about the hiring freeze. Is there any indication where the door may be open for you to fill your positions?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we Bucknell's done a tremendous job. I mean, we're certainly not the only school that experienced this. I mean, you can look at some of the FBS programs and what they've gone through here over this off season. You know, Bucknell has been very well prepared for this, and I think now that we are entering this the last couple of weeks here of this semester, we're going to be in great shape financially, and with that, hopefully, the university will be able to kind of resume normal operations as we get into the summer here, and we can get the rest of our staff filled.
Okay, so how do you want to handle this offseason? Have you started to think about how you want to handle the preseason since you played four games and played four games into mid to late April?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's big in your thinking. You know, you've got a turnaround time that's a lot shorter. Four games isn't a lot, but it's still, you know, so we've got some players that are working on injuries and are going to have to heal up. So we're going to have to be more careful in August than we have in a typical preseason camp, which, you know, sometimes you can liken to a meat grinder, right? You just grind through it. They'll have a lot of long days and a lot of contact, and you get, you know, these guys just toughened up. And that's not going to be the way that we're going to be able to approach camp in August. We're going to have to make sure that our young players get a lot of snaps, our incoming freshmen, but the guys that are returning, we're going to make sure that we need them. We worked through, you know, what wound up being kind of like a spring ball on steroids, right? We practiced instead of 1 month and 15 practices. Right. You know, we got about four times the amount of practices, including games, and that's given us a leg up, you know, going into August camp. But we really got to make sure that we don't, hurt ourselves by not allowing our guys, our returning players, to make sure that they're in the best shape, they've fully recovered, and that they're, you know, ready to take on the physical rigors of, you know, a season that's, you know, going to be 11 games or longer here coming up this fall.
What's the dead period been like for you to negotiate in terms of the recruiting part of it?
Yeah, well, I'll be honest, a lot of it's been welcome because we've been in season. You know, if you
right,
think
no,
about
exactly,
it, normally
yeah, that helps.
Throughout May and parts of April, we're out on the road recruiting and just with having the rigors of dealing, the logistics of dealing with the season, it's been a little bit of a godsend for us. I mean, that being said, we're definitely behind like any other school in the normal recruiting process, but that is something that I don't know how many times I said to myself, gosh, thank goodness we're in the middle of a season right now, because if other teams, FBS or FCS level teams, if they were out on the road recruiting while we were out on the practice field, the game field, getting ready for football games, that really would have put us behind the ball.
Obviously, the recruiting is not just recruiting, but obviously there's transfers. Now, basketball is far more pronounced. I mean, Nate Sestina went to Kentucky from Bucknell. John Meeks just ended up going to Charleston. Here I know Barney Amore, is the former punter at Colgate's, transferred in, and he's here. Do you have to re-recruit some of your own players? Is that any thought for you at Bucknell, your level?
Well, you always have that. You know, that's a part of the college game, and as the NCAA loosens its restrictions and gives more power to the student-athlete, that it has become a bigger and bigger part of retaining your student-athletes, not just recruiting them. So it is a part. We're very, very fortunate at Bucknell that, you know, we're talking about, you know, really less than 5% of our team. So, you know, most of the players, one of the nice things of being at a university that has such a rich and well-deserved academic reputation that we have, there are a lot of players that are here understand the value of a Bucknell education. They're not just going to college so that they can play football. And that, when that's the case, you tend to get people who are going to stick it out. You know, they might not be a starter. They might be a backup, maybe even a backup to someone who is a year younger than them, you know, eligibility-wise. But most of our guys have a great head on their shoulders. They're mature. And because they enjoy just the overall experience of Bucknell, they tend to stick it around here a little bit longer than I think at most institutions.
Well, Coach, I think we have some connection issues with Steve, so I'll have to let you go.
Okay.
I appreciate the time, as always. Congratulations on a terrific season, and we look forward to seeing you guys up in the fall at Christy Mathewson Memorial Stadium.
Sure, no problem. You guys take care.